Listen to these words. He had quite possibly been a foreigner, though not necessarily French, since to the people who had come after him and had almost obliterated all trace of his sojourn, anyone speaking the tongue with a foreign flavor or whose appearance or occupation was strange would have been a Frenchman, regardless of what nationality he might affirm, just as to his urban coevals, had he elected to settle in Jefferson itself, say, he would have been called a Dutchman. Those opening lines from William Faulkner's The Hamlet, lyrical, mysterious, take you right into a dark, overgrown world of whispers and memory. In them, you can hear Faulkner's mature command of rhythm, place, and time. Now try this. A bachelor apartment, a grand piano, a key in the lock, then a voice off stage. Yes, and let me tell you something, son. The more you count on them, the worse. Well, here we are. The door opens. Come in. That is the younger voice of William Faulkner. It's the opening lines from a newly published play written by a young Faulkner called Twixt Cup and Lip, about two young men and the saucy, untamed young woman who has captured both of their hearts. Here is the young, punchy, glib, and full of attitude Faulkner. Andrew Gooley found Twixt Cup and Lip in the University of Virginia Special Collections Library, and today the play was published for the first time in the Strand magazine, where Gooley is managing editor.
This was when he was a very, very young man. He was probably around 22 or 23. It came at a very tough time in his life because his childhood sweetheart, Estelle, had chosen another guy and married him, and Faulkner's heart was broken. At around that time, he had dropped out of school. He was working. He had these jobs that were odds and ends. And then, after trying to volunteer to fight in World War II, he came back to Oxford, Mississippi, and they offered a sort of a scholarship for veterans returning from the war to study there. And he was reading a lot of George Bernard Shaw. He was reading Anton Chekhov, and he was dabbling with a group of students who were interested in staging some plays over there. And this seems to be something that he wrote at that time when he was a student at Ole Miss.
Is this out of the Yoknapatawpha County zone that so much of his imaginary Americana takes place in?
This seems to be more of a jazz age flapper type of story with this emancipated woman who has two men around her little finger, and she's just very independent, and you know, she drinks and she smokes, and the main character thinks that he's, you know, a very tough guy who knows how to tame her, but of course he's completely off and she's just laughing at him and just knows how to manipulate everybody around her. When I read it, it reminded me of something written by Dorothy Parker or F. Scott Fitzgerald, or reminded me of a play of Noel Coward. The interesting thing about it is, despite the fact that it was never published, if he had published or produced it at that time, it would have been looked at as one of the early jazz age carefree romantic stories.
He's taking characters and evoking a time in a way that comes much later in those other works.
Exactly. That's a great point. You know, of course, we have the jazz age stories of F. Scott Fitzgerald, Dorothy Parker. We have Noel Coward, and we have their plays and works. But this was ahead of its time in that it had some interesting turns of phrase. It was funny. It showed the characters as being, you know, flawed, yet at the same time endearing characters. Not many people were writing this type of theme around the 1920s.
Any evidence that this play was actually performed?
You know, sometimes when you'll come across something like this, you'll hear somebody say, oh, well, you know, this may have been lost to the reading public, but we have had an inkling that something like this did exist. Every scholar I've spoken to, and I haven't spoken to every single Faulkner scholar, was very, very surprised that this was completely lost, and they said that there is no evidence that this was ever performed.
But it is funny, and we don't associate Faulkner with a whole lot of chuckles in so many of his dark, dark novels, which really show the collision between a fading antebellum South and, you know, what came after the Civil War.
That's a very good point. So you have this dichotomy of this man who, on the one hand, was very much a product of the South, but on the other hand, he was a great chronicler, as you said, of the Southern decay. He was a chronicler of what he looked at as the original sin of the South and slavery, and how during his lifetime they persisted in treating blacks in a very atrocious way. The story did stay with me. It reminds me of a short story that Anton Chekhov wrote titled The Bet. And there is a bet in this story, and there are some slight similarities here and there. So when I read this, my mind instantly flashed back to that Chekhov story, which it was a very different story, a very dark story. But there is a sort of a theme of how a bet can go off.
I'm a big fan of Faulkner, and I gather that this publication today will be a bit of a banner event for you at the end of the year.
I hope so. This has been a very good year for us in that we published an unpublished horror story by Tennessee Williams and a short story by F. Scott Fitzgerald during the summer. So ending the year with Faulkner is fantastic. This has been beyond my wildest dreams that we'd be able to publish this. And a big thanks to the William Faulkner Estate and Lee Kaplan, who is just a fantastic person to work with.
Andrew Gooley is managing editor of The Strand Magazine, talking about a never-before-published William Faulkner play from the University of Virginia Special Collections Library called Twixt Cup and Lip. Thanks, as always, Andrew.
Thanks a lot, John. Always good to be with you.